Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the Retro Next podcast. So excited to be back. And today we're talking Southern women's fiction. We have from historical fiction, magical realism, gothic, Southern gothic. We got all the recommendations. Our guest is Grace Helena Waltz, who writes Southern women's fiction. She has her debut Southern by Design, and her latest book is Good Hair Days. And both books are a place of family, community, meddling community, and all the things we can do. So Good Hair Days is kind of like a Steel Magnolias reimagined with a diabetes storyline, but we do get a family health issue and a rundown hair salon that just needs some TLC and some more cash. So we got all the things that we love about community and Southern women's fiction. In this episode, Grace shares some recommendations about books to read after reading her two books from the Kristen Woodson Harveys, Mary Kay Andrews, and other authors that you should definitely pick up if you're like the Southern women's fiction genre, and some historical fiction, magic realism, and everything else in between. If you're curious about Southern women's fiction, where to get started, what it looks like, this is a great episode for you. So let's get to the recommendations. Hi, Grace. Welcome to the What's Your Next podcast. Hey there. Thanks so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So my name is Grace Helena Waltz, and I'm a writer, a women's fiction author. So I've written two books now. My debut was Southern by Design, and that came out in February. And it's a story about a historic home preservationist designer who has to team up with her very difficult mother on a project to save her struggling business. And then the book that I have coming out next is Good Hair Days. And that one's coming out in November. So that one's really on my mind. It's a modern take on Steel Magnolias meets Hello Beautiful. The art team put together this beautiful cover, which I'm so excited about. And that one is going to be out on November 11th. So we're coming up on that time.
So we're going to talk about, because you got two books in 1 year, your debut and your second book. So what was the writing process? Because I'm assuming you had these like written in a while and getting them published and selling them and stuff like that. Talk to us about the journey to get that process.
Yeah, my debut, Southern by Design, that book was probably rewritten at least four or five times. Yeah. So it wasn't the first manuscript that I wrote. It was the second one. I think like many authors, I had that first manuscript that was the one that you're really practicing on, you're writing and you're finding your way, you're figuring out how to put a book together and what's compelling and what's boring and what you should put more of, what you should leave out. So the first manuscript was in the drawer for good. And then Southern by Design was my second manuscript that I had written. And that one, it took me several years. That was the one where I got my agent. So then my agent had sold that book. It was probably about a year from when I signed with my agent until that book was sold. And so during that process, the advice that writers are often given that there's so much time in publishing for you to wait. It's just an industry that moves slowly. Although then when it starts moving, it's fast. It's hurry up and wait. And then it's when they say go, it's like, oh my goodness, there's so much happening like this moment right now where I'm planning for this book to come out. And so while we were doing all of the publishing behind the scenes stuff, I started working on this second book. And so when they offered me the deal, they offered me a two-book deal. So I knew that they wanted to do two books with me. And Southern by Design was definitely the first, but the second book was left open. So that was kind of one for us to come back to. And I had been working on Good Hair Days during all of this waiting and, you know, what if, you know, you're sitting around, you don't know really what's going to happen. And so that book, that manuscript was really, the early version of it was really complete before I even started the editorial work with my editor at HarperCollins on the first book. So yeah. I was lucky that I had kind of that already put together. I do write fairly quickly, which is helpful. But it also helps that I had this idea fully fleshed out. For the most part, it underwent a lot of revisions. I think that my editor really helped me to kind of level the book up. But it really did help me to have these two books. They're exactly actually 9 months apart, like to the date, because my first was February 11th. And then this one is November 11th. So I've been joking that they're my Irish twin books.
That's right.
9 months apart. And so that part of the timing, like leading up to Southern by Design actually getting picked up officially, it really helped.
Yeah. So talk to us on Good Hair Days. You talked about Steel Magnolia. We got it in Rundown. Hair salon that's been passed through generations for female generations. And they're having to try to uplift it. And there's grief. There's specific things of coming back home and themes around it. But talk to us about what was the writing process? What is it about the book? And like, why would readers should pick it up?
Yeah. So it's really, and you hit on so many of the highlights of the core of what the book is about. And so it's really about family. So the book is written from the point of view of two sisters. The older sister, Georgia, is the main character, and the younger sister, Junie, is also a point of view in the book. And their mother is deceased, and they have two maternal aunts. And the younger sister is the one that's in charge of the beauty shop, June's Beauty Shop, that's been passed generation to generation. And Georgia is the older sister who is kind of gone. She's left town, and she's the daughter that the expectation was put on to go and do something bigger, that you don't need to be chained to this small town beauty shop. Go out there and be. She was the one who was academically achieving, and she was the one that was this star child in the family that everyone kind of pegged their hopes on her to be something bigger and more. But when the book opens, all she wants is to come back home. And so when her younger sister calls and she says, oh, I got us into hot water in June's Beauty into hot water, where I started this renovation and I thought we had the money to finish it. Turns out we don't. I need you to come home and help save the day, which is a recurring pattern between the sisters, that Georgia is this kind of responsible one that saves the day. And Junie is excited and kind of up in the clouds a little bit. And she kind of rushes it. She gets excited and she rushes into things. And so when Georgia comes home, they end up teaming up with their maternal aunts to try to make money however they can. So there's gambling at the salon there. These are like small town women who are not fussy or frilly in any way. And they kind of come up with this list of ways that they can save their salon. And then while this is ongoing, Junie, the younger sister, gets a life-altering medical diagnosis. So she's diagnosed with the same cancer that their mother passed away from. And so that is a moment where the women really have to kind of pull together in a much deeper way. And finally, they're forced to really be honest about what they want in life and what they believe about themselves, and really rely on the deep love between them to get through.
I love this. I'm so excited for readers to pick it up. I think this is like a perfect beachside escape too. You're taking like a nice little trip outside just to see the stories, like a family coming together, women actually within the family actually coming together and really putting political straps and trying to make sense of things. And coming back home, the theme of coming back home is a big one. I think a lot of times we leave thinking the grass is green on the other side, and we realize like, actually, no, maybe just going back home, going back with our family, connecting with them, it feels a much better place to feel peace. So,
yeah. And I think while I was writing it too, I thought a lot about the ways that our family impacts the decisions that we make. And whether it's something that's very conscious in the forefront of our mind, that like in the story, Georgia very explicitly knows that her mother kind of gave her these marching orders of like, go and do and be bigger and better. And then other more subtle things of like, how do our families impact us and kind of in our behaviors and our choices and where we go in life? And then also, when do people push back against that? When do we say, well, actually, that's not what I want. That's what somebody else wanted, and kind of take ownership of our own lives too.
Love this. All right. So let's talk about Southern women's fiction, because this is a niche. This is a genre you're writing. And it's a really unique genre. There's plenty of you got the like books are like about family, women's fiction, about character arcs, about growth. But there's also the Southern take on that's very unique to the area. Talk to us about the genre, but also what made you write for it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I love Southern women's fiction. And like you said, I think it's so unique. And I think that there's just a particular voice to it that makes you feel a certain way. And so for me, the type of reader I am is that I will not necessarily remember all the details of a book, the little plot points or the characters, the names. Gosh, I'm awful with the names. I like literally, it's like as soon as I close the book, like the names of all the characters just go out of my head. But I will always remember how a book made me feel. And so that was one of the things that from the get-go drew me to Southern women's fiction. So I really got started on Southern women's fiction by reading Dorothea Benton Frank. Her books just, I read the, I don't remember which was the first one I read, but as soon as I read one of them, I was like, oh my goodness, I just felt like home. It felt like being embraced. It felt really like an escape, a sensory warm feeling that like I just got from those books. And I was like, I have to read all of these books. So I went through her backlist and like picked everything up and read as much as I could. And unfortunately, she passed away in 2019. Her daughter, Victoria Benton Frank, is now publishing. And I haven't been able to read her latest, The Violet Hour, yet, but I loved her debut, My Magnolia Summer. So that was really what I was reading the most of when I started writing. So I started writing fiction actually in 2019. And I decided that I loved it so much that it would be, if I was going to write something, that's what I would want it to be. And I had gone to the College of Charleston in South Carolina for my undergrad degree, and I got to live in the city there, which was an amazing experience. I mean, it's such a unique place, and to be able to live downtown and walk everywhere and stuff. At the time, I don't think I really appreciated it as much as I should have, but it was such, I was 18 and I went to college and I was like, okay, I guess this is college. And only as an adult, I'm like, oh my goodness, like what a fabulous place to get to live.
I went to Charleston. I went there a couple of years ago. It's such a beautiful like town, especially downtown area where all the things are happening. It's just this beautiful like place just to spend time, and the weather is nice. And it's not, I think that's a part of the weather down in the south. It's a little bit nicer than north, but the people, is just, it's a very different setting. And I think that's a great place to get. And obviously we get a reality TV show. We got Southern Charm that
that's
toxic men, but
I love that. And I know, and I love that you said about the people too, because I think that's a big part of the Southern women's fiction genre too, is this sense of community and how people show up for each other. And it makes it really fun to cast characters as well, because when I'm casting them, I want people to be part of an ensemble that they're coming together. And the Southern setting really, like, it tees that up so easily that people want to show up for each other. And sometimes people want to be in other people's business just for the sake of being in other people's business. And a lot of times that might be, they might pretend that it's for the sake of good when it's really they're nosy, or maybe they're trying to interfere. But again, that goes to like quirkiness of the South too, that I think that there's so many endearing, quirky, odd things that Southerners do and say that make for, especially if you're creating a women's fiction story where you know there's going to be emotional challenges, or there's going to be plot points that are going to be really emotionally challenging, that having those like light moments naturally come in as well. It's fabulous. And especially, so really, I think where I onboarded with the Southern women's fiction was this experience of living in the Lowcountry of South Carolina, and then those authors that I read. And also, I mean, then from there, I started reading Chrissy Woodson Harvey, and Mary Kay Andrews is in that group as well, and reading Victoria's books. And from there, I started reading more Southern fiction. Recently, I've actually gotten more into Southern magical realism, which is like another fun niche.
Oh, yes.
So,
I need your records for that. I need your rocks for that.
So yes. Okay. So one of my dear friends, Jennifer Moorman, she writes Southern magical realism. I'm actually right now reading her an arc of her book that's coming out in January. It's called The Charmed Library. And it is about this Southern town where there's the main character works in a library where there's magic that can bring characters to life. From the library books. So that one I'm really enjoying. Heather Weber is another one who I read Midnight at the Blackbird Cafe, which is not a new book. And she's written many more since, but somebody gave it to me. And it was one of those books that, as well, There are certain people that if they tell me, oh, you should read this book, I'm like, okay, yes, definitely. And I just pick it up and read it, even if it's not brand new or a genre that I'm super comfortable with. I'm like, okay, well, if you recommend it, I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
And that was one that I just really enjoyed. And then another one that I read recently was Elizabeth Bass Parman's Bees in June. I actually have it right here because I did an event together. That one is set against the moon landing. So it's there's a historical component to it, but it's not historical fiction in the traditional sense. And it's about this woman who is in a very difficult place in her life. Her husband is abusive and she's kind of stuck and she's in this small town and she doesn't really have a way out. And then these magical bees kind of come. It's the bees also have a point of view in the book, which I love as well. Yeah. So if you like magical realism, and that one's lighter on the magical realism component, there is a big like Southern women's fiction component to that story too, that I loved because it was like, oh, this is my bread and butter type of book, plus a sprinkle of magical bees.
I mean, well, what can you ask for?
Yeah, exactly. I know. So I've been really enjoying those books recently. Oh, and another author that I have to mention as well in the Southern fiction genre is Pamela Terry. So she just wrote, I have an arc of her book over here. I read this early, Through an Open Window. So if you like Southern fiction, this is her third book that she's come out with. That one I loved. I read, she and I did an event together and I got to read it early. I always love getting arcs. It's like so fun. I'm like, I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm getting to read it early. It's like, oh yay, part of the club. And I loved it. It was fabulous. So if you like the low country fiction, if you like Southern Woods fiction, you can't miss Pamela Terry either.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Grace, for all the Southern Woods fiction recommendations and all the subgenres that we have. We're going to put together a guide from your recommendations into the Substack. So for listeners just joining the Substack, we'll put together a guide so you get to get started. Because I think you gave us a good starting point where to go. And other authors that you may be like, oh my gosh, I can go back to. Yeah. I think it's a really interesting niche that has grown. I love talking to Mary Kay Andrews. She's lovely. She's a champion for authors and champion for our community. I think it was one of those first authors that I actually interviewed. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. And I'm like, now I need to read more. I'm excited to continue diving into this world. So
yeah, I know. I love Mary Kay Andrews books. And she's such a stellar member of the author community too. She wrote a blurb for my debut. And I was so nervous to ask her because I just admired her so much such a strange spot to be in as a debut as well, because nobody knows you. You haven't published anything. And yet then you're going to these very experienced authors and you're saying, hey, like, any chance you would want to read my book and like maybe say something nice about it if you like it. And she was just so gracious and lovely about it too, that it just was. And she's a wildly successful author that doesn't have to take time out of her busy schedule to do something like that for a debut, but she did. And she's just made a big and positive impression on me too.
I love when authors are really like championing authors and really sharing their platform with other authors, because it's, and a lot of it's collaboration. I know a lot of people think it's competition, scarcity, and there's only one spot in the bestseller. But the reality is that there are readers everywhere, and the bestseller is not the only place. I love having this podcast because it not only helps you discover this author, but it helps you discover other authors. And his readers are reading more than what the authors are producing. So we want to give them like a plethora of options and they have enough to go down. So thank you, Grace, for really sharing the Southern Woman's Fiction, sharing your two books and really giving us a place for it to get started. And so we can, after reading your two books, we have something to hold on to your next book. So
yeah, it's fabulous. And I have to say, I've been so impressed as well just with all these Southern fiction authors, that all of them are so supportive of one another. And I've made connections and friendships with so many of them that it really is, the support between one another is just amazing. Chrissy Woodson Harvey has also been incredibly supportive of me too. And Kimberly Brock, who is another Southern author, she writes historical Southern fiction, like a gothic kind of component to it. It's just been amazing.
Yeah, it's a beautiful community to be part of.
It is. And the readers, too. The readers just make it less.
Yeah. So, Grace, tell us where you can find you online.
Thank you for asking. So the main social media that I use is Instagram. So my handle there is Grace Helena Books. And then if you want to get on my email subscriber list and stay up to date on events that I'm doing, the best place to find me is my website. So that's gracehelenawalls.com. And I am on Facebook too. You'll see me there less often.
Yes. Thank you, Grace, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the What to Read Next. For more book lists, cozy reads, and library tips, visit the whattoreadnextblog.com. Your next great read might be waiting there. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.